Just a quick disclaimer before the episode starts. There was a little bit of a malfunction on my half. I forgot to change the microphone settings, so my guest, Jay, who you will get introduced to again in a little bit, is a little bit more quiet than I am. I'm going to do my best to edit this in post, but no promises. Yeah, that's about it. Enjoy the episode. On this episode of Still Loading, number 5. Hi guys, and welcome back to the newest episode of Still Loading. It is Josh, and with me again is my good old buddy Jay.
It's me. I'm good, and I'm old, and I'm one of Josh's buddies.
A buddy. Yeah. And today we are talking about Chippendale Rescue Rangers for the NES. Continuing on with my 4440 series, this is the next game on that list. And so we just finished about, like, I'll say about a 30-40 minute playthrough. Not the whole game, but played about 30
minutes. We got through zones... Zero, A, B, C, D. We didn't get through D.
We didn't get through D. We saw D.
It was terrifying.
We saw the D.
Yeah.
And,
we saw it, and it was just as scary as
anything. It was just bears everywhere.
Yeah, there were bears.
Tigers, oh my.
It's probably important to note, neither of us are particularly familiar with the show.
Yeah, that's definitely important to note.
Neither of us have played the game. So there was probably a bunch of references that we didn't end up seeing. There was probably a bunch of stuff that we're going to say, like, what is this? Where anybody who would have seen the show would have been, oh, it's this. So save your comments about how we're idiots. We already know.
We already know. And it's kind of funny because I posted a little... Oops, whoa. I dropped something. Posted a little teaser on Instagram before this, and someone said, fuck you, Gadget, on it. I'm thinking, like... Do they think it's from Inspector Gadget? Only to realize that one of the characters' names in the show was Gadget. Because I haven't seen... I didn't grow up with Disney afternoon.
We apologize beforehand. The only thing that I know about it is that you've got Indiana Jones and Magnum P.I. as Chip
good old
and
Chip
or
and
Dale, respectively.
I believe Chip was Indy and Dale was Magnum.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it
or
was.
Or Mr. P.I.
Yeah, no. Chip is Indy, Dale is Magnum. Yep, it's right on there. Dale with his flower shirt or Mr. P.I.
Yeah.
So the premise of the game is that you can choose as Chip or Dale, and there is a two-player game, so I wonder, we didn't try the two-player game. Maybe we should have tried that.
Only thing, I believe, because this is one of the things that I really like about old games, is that if you leave it on the start menu long enough, it'll start just playing the tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like games don't really do that all that much anymore. The games that I play, games like Soul Calibur and stuff, they have, like, fighting demonstrations, and they would show, like, the Soul Calibur characters, like, fighting or going through a routine, stuff like that, and I thought that was really cool. And the only thing that I would assume that you could do in the two-player that we didn't see in the one-player was being able to pick each other up, like we picked up everything else.
I bet you probably could. I mean, you can
sure
do that in other games.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how it would work in terms of flinging each other.
This would actually be a really fun two-player game,
yeah?
I feel like. Oh, yeah. We should try it after we were finished recording this. You know, because it would have been smart to do it beforehand,
but
whatever.
We already said that we're idiots, so
we already
you
can't
get mad at us. People on the internet. I mean, you will, but you can't.
Because we already disclaimed it.
Yeah.
We already disclaimed that we are idiots.
Yes.
You could just agree with us, and then that makes you the asshole, too.
Yeah, so
we
got you. That's how you deal with doing things on the internet.
You just make fun of yourself.
Listen, we're really dumb. You can't get mad at us.
Unfortunately, that is how you have to deal with things on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, though, like, you can only experience so much media in your life, and you're not going to... It's physically impossible for you to experience everything that other people did in their childhoods.
Josh, challenge accepted.
I'll
see you later.
As I go off and watch...
I will consume all media.
Oh, yeah. Let me go watch... All right, since I was born in the late 80s, I'm an 80s kid, so I gotta watch He-Man and Thundercats.
Yeah.
And
I mean, technically, we were born in 88 and 89. We're really 90s kids. We were 80s infants.
Oh, yeah. We're 80s infants and 90s kids. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let's see. Basically, let's see how the game describes the story, because I'm bad at, like, giving descriptions, breaking stuff down initially.
And seeing as how this is a NES game, it has a manual that actually tries to describe itself as much as possible, which you don't really get in.
The Rescue Rangers have been assembled once again to help a friend in need. Their neighbor, Mandy, has lost her kitten, and she doesn't know where to begin looking. There have been some unusual sightings in the town of mechanical bulldogs and robotic rats. Can the Rescue Rangers' enemy, Fat Cat, be up to his old tricks again? Well, spoiler alert, he is, and he kidnapped our friend Gadget, and she's making things for him now, but somehow she's able to communicate.
Yeah.
That's a noun, not a verb, right?
Sure.
All right. I'll go English.
I don't have any problems with it.
But all right. So that's pretty much the story. You have to go rescue. You try to rescue the cat, and then you have to rescue Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
So
on a wireless telephone.
This
gigantic.
That was like two rooms.
85, yeah.
So let's. What I always like to do is kind of break down what we see on the box art and like the cover art. So. The first thing that
I see exactly everything that we saw in the first stage. We see the apples, we see the robot dogs.
This is a perfect representation of what you're going to see in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Chip and/or Dale hanging on to stuff and throwing stuff down at the enemies. I like how the robotic dogs have the tomatoes, which I didn't see any tomatoes. Did you?
Well, those are probably.
Because Dale has an apple.
Maybe we saw a bunch of tomatoes, but we just assumed that they were apples.
Or maybe we didn't get to the tomatoes yet.
Maybe.
Then you can see the reward for Fat Cat, and Gadget is on the missing poster. I don't know, here, you're looking at the cartridge, you can see it.
Yeah, this is the box art, it's just like a souped up version. And it's also got that little guy, which again, probably people know from the
Buzzer.
Show. That thing gave you invulnerability.
Oh, Zipper, sorry, and, Zipper.
Yeah, it gave you invulnerability and took out enemies for you.
When Zipper flies ahead, no harm will come to the Rescue Rangers. Monterey Jack Monty helps Chip and Dale find secret doors and passwords. He's the dude that the cheese came and he just bolts right forward.
What's up with that guy?
Yeah. That's Monterey Jack.
Fantastic name.
And then there's one of the enemies is called a popper mouse, and it totally looks like he's holding his penis out on there, like a cone penis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he seems to be in pain, too. Maybe he's got to see a doctor.
A mouseologist. A mouseologist?
A
mouseologist?
That's probably somebody who's dealing with the psychiatry of mice, you know? You got to have yes. somebody specifically for mice dicks.
I guess so. I mean, when you live in a mouse world, I guess that's what
you gotta do it, or else you get it with a face like Popper.
You gotta turn your head and cough. I mean, that's not a urologist, but it's just
it could
right.
be. You know.
I mean, you are checking.
Maybe mice dicks work differently. You know, maybe you gotta cough in order for.
Well, I was making the joke about mm-hmm. checking your whatever. Mm-hmm. What's that thing when you have to check when you're 40? For dudes.
Prostate.
That's it.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word. I should have known that. But, the game overall was pretty fun. Box art. We never finished the box art.
No.
So, the box art, you can see Gadget's on a missing poster. You can see the robotic dogs trying to get at Chip and Dale, who are up high above. Like, Dale is on a fence throwing stuff down, and Chip is hanging on electric wire. And it honestly represents the gameplay a lot because it's that's exactly what you do. You pick up items
and you throw them,
that's it.
Yeah.
And
you jump.
It's a really simple game, but it's like it's surprisingly the difficulty is fun. It's a fun kind of fare.
Yeah, that's what I really appreciated because I mean, you know, like in old games, because they only had a certain amount of space in order to create a game, what they decided to do for like a lot of games is to just make the game really difficult. That way, the game isn't over in, like, 5 minutes. But also, it doesn't create a fun experience, because nobody's interested in, like, okay, we're going to throw a bunch of challenges at this person really quickly, and they'll just have to figure it out. This kind of showed, they established all the difficulties that we had in a reasonable pace. We weren't thrown with a lot of things right at the beginning.
And considering we didn't read the manual beforehand, I'd say it's really solid game design. Like, every time I thought I would get stuck, you found out there was a way that you could still go to get out of it.
The only issue, and I think we both agreed with it, was we understood the fact that, like, if you scrolled to the right, and then you couldn't get back to the left, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not able to traverse the entire level when you go all the way back. But when you're going up, and then so you're scrolling the screen up, then suddenly where you were before, even if it was just like a 2-foot drop, becomes an impossible height that you'll die from if you fall. And that doesn't really match continuity, because we were literally just down there, and we know it's not that far of a drop, so why has it suddenly become a death null, you know? That was the one thing that I didn't like about the platforming aspect of it.
Because it's like air kills you. It's not like an enemy. To be fair, though, at least you, like, once you... I mean, yeah, it sucks that you have to learn it the hard way the first time, mm-hmm. but once you know that, it's very fair. Like, they don't throw a lot of enemies at you on the hardest, on the vertical stages.
Well, at least they didn't during the beginning stages where we were at.
No, it's interesting, though. So, I watched a video somewhat recently about, like, the technical limitations of the NES, and I was thinking about it now with the way the screen scrolls on this. So, on the original NES, it could only... It's weird how it works. So, I'm trying to remember exactly how the guy phrased it in the video, but when a screen loads on the NES... A lot of old games, they only go right to left and not really up and down. Sure. Because, especially with the old games, they're still learning things, but, like, the loading zone, like, because it's just off the edge of the screen that you can't see. So that's how it, you know, it loads in more of the level as you go along.
Yeah, it doesn't load the entire level at the same time.
Exactly. They called it, the guy, I forget what he called it, was, like, title table, or just tables, I forget what it was. But the NES was only capable of showing... 4 tables total, right?
Okay.
Now, most game cartridges, unless it had extra space, could only display 2. So what they would do is that they would put 1 table at the top and 1 table at the bottom, and just think of each table as just like what you see on the screen.
Yeah.
And it would then just mirror it. So that way it was like 1 table taking up 2... It was like 1 table provided by the cartridge, but it was taking up 2 full tables on the NES, and they would mirror it down to the bottom one. And normally you never see the second one. I don't know exactly why it needed to, like, mirror it or whatever. It didn't really explain in the video. But so you would, the loading buffer would be, you know, just a couple pixels out, well, a little bit more than that, like 30 some odd pixels outside of what you see on the actual TV screen. So that way when you get there, obviously it's that next part of the level. Now, in games like Mario 3, where you actually can move up and down and left and right, you have the full range of all 4 tables.
Yeah.
The NES is not capable of doing a buffer in 2 different directions. It can't buffer like its levels, like having the level buffers on the... It has to be on the left and right side, just outside of the bounds, or directly above it, right?
Okay.
Or like, so you could do horizontal or vertical scrolling. Now, since Mario 3 technically kind of had both, what it would do, since it had to load a full, like, 2 tables, essentially, the buffer zone was down to directly right next to it, so you didn't have any leeway. So in Mario 3, when you move too fast, you'll see the weird color change of the tiles on the right-hand side of the screen.
Yeah, okay.
This one does it kind of smart. To bring it back to Chip and Dale, what they do, it's really smart, is they... switch it on the fly, it seems like. Now, I don't know for sure, because I didn't break into the technical aspects, but if you notice, you can only go up, like, if you jump up to the top of the screen, the camera doesn't follow you.
Yeah.
But when you get to a certain spot for the designated vertical sections, that's when you can all of a sudden move up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice, though, that they keep all the vertical sections to one side of the screen and the other, so Chip or Dale cannot move the camera to the left or to the right.
So when it's on one or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you notice on the left side, if we were all the way on the left, then the tower that you had to climb was all the way on the leftmost edge of the screen. So that way, if you move back to the center, it might move right again, type of thing.
Do you remember? I can't remember which zone it was, but there was a rabbit that you would bring a box to. You were going to destroy it. But you were relatively high up on the screen, and then it jumped up,
and
then
just
blinked out of existence. It was no longer there. Maybe that has to do...
I think it might, because it just despawned. It jumped into the despawn zone, so it's no longer there.
This kind of reminds me of I'm not entirely sure if this is how it works, but I've seen a handful of, like, speedruns of Sonic games, older ones, like Sonic 2 and 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you've got a variety of different zones that have... you know, it'll load a certain part at the beginning, and it'll also load a certain part. It can't load the entire level all at one time. So you could clip out of the, like, into the ground or out of the air or something, and instead of just, like, plopping you right back to where you were, it'll take you to a virtually randomized part of the level that's already been loaded. Now, it's random in terms of which parts got loaded at the very beginning, but it's actually pretty predictable at this point. So you can go from, like, some places in Sonic at the very beginning and immediately go to the very end, because that just happens to be one of the areas that got loaded. And, you know, anybody who knows about Sonic speedruns, please let me know if I'm wrong. But as far as I know, that's kind of how it works with certain aspects of Sonic speedrunning, where you clip to such a crazy degree. 2 and 3, especially 3, I think, was the one that I saw where the person was just going through, like, yeah, this game gets totally broken in a normal speedrun.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you essentially, like, you know, you would pick up a box, or you, like, put down a box right where your feet are, and you kind of clip through the box, and the level, you don't see Sonic at all, and it's just going all kinds of crazy, taking you from different parts of, like, the piping and everything. You know how Sonic, level in Sonic works, and, like, it'll just go to, like, the very end, and then you just kind of pop up. Like, oh yeah, I've been here the whole time. Everything's fine.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I wonder if it, like, because obviously, like, the Genesis and stuff like that had more sophisticated capabilities than the NES, but, like, that it's always interesting how the technical limitations of the hardware can, like, really break a game, like, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, basically, I feel like speedrunners, just what they do is they look at the technical limitations of the hardware, they look at the game and see how the game works around it, and then they abuse that.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be kind of like, well, no shit type of thing.
Well, basically, but anything in terms of trying to establish a way of using or abusing a mechanic that creates movement. That's the whole thing. The same thing with old fighting game combo videos. Is like, how do we create, like, the most creative combo video in a fighting game? You try to link certain moves that just create movement within the character, either because it was supposed to or because it wasn't supposed to. You know, if we want to talk about, like, the competitive aspect, you know, Super Smash Bros. Melee, a lot of the stuff that competitive players use nowadays, and have been since, like, the game came out, are things that just weren't necessarily supposed to be in the game that make the character go quicker. And,
like, wave dashing type of thing?
Exactly. Wave dashing is 100% what I was talking about. L canceling can kind of be the same way. It's all about establishing movement and making your character go quicker. In speedruns, in combo videos, in all aspects of video games, Josh, it's all about moving. Just like we're trying to move throughout life.
You got deep on us on that one. We're gonna.
I'm a very deep guy. You can tell because my voice is now, like, softer, you know? Like, originally I was talking like this, and I was explaining, like,
it's very voice, authoritarian.
But it's more important. Oh, I made myself laugh. Never mind. It always sucks when I make myself laugh. I can't keep
it. No, no worries.
When it comes to, like, the restrictions of, like, the display and everything, I will say that this game was kind of unabashedly showing that with certain, like, characters and stuff. Like, the robotic dogs, it truly freaked me out when one of the dogs, you would jump over it rather than killing it, and you just kind of let it go on its merry way. It eventually gets to a place where it can't jump over an obstacle, and it immediately just starts
freaking
pulsing and going into a seizure of, like, am I really here? Who knows? Am I supposed to be
existential
here?
Crisis.
Yeah, it was really
crisis.
It was really creepy, you know.
Well, that I like, you freaked out real bad the first time.
Yeah,
I'm like, I would just, like, okay, the game's glitching, cool. Like,
no, I immediately got immersed, and it's like, hey, if I was in a situation where I've got to deal with a robot
and
dog,
and you see a dog just freaking the fuck out, like,
it's running into the wall, it's not there, or is it there? Was it ever there? We don't
just
know.
Just fading in and out of existence.
Not even the world isn't telling me whether this is something that I should be afraid of or not. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what you should be afraid of.
What should I be afraid of, Josh?
Level D with the bears.
Oh my god.
So I know we kind of jumped a couple levels up. Each level, so you fight a boss in almost all the levels, except for C for some reason. But
yeah, those were
zero, A, and B.
We were supposed to go back to C at some point?
Well, she meant, no, because we had to go do B first because she mentioned to tap the water. So Gadget calls and says, like, hey, if you go to level, like, zone B, you can, like, turn off the water in the faucets by jumping on top of it. You need to do that to get to me, and blah, 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 blah. So we're like, okay, that makes sense. So you go and do that.
Yeah.
And then you go to, and but there's a boss at the end. Now the bosses of these of each level so far, to be fair, I've only, I think I fought three bosses total. Zero, A, and
there was okay. There was the weird hand broom thing.
The weird hand broom thing.
There was the flying. Oh yeah, there,
three.
And there were two other ones that flew.
Yeah.
There was the one that.
There was a spaceship one that was dropping like weird
like
frog.
Things,
yeah, octopi.
Or frogs, because it didn't
whatever the hell.
Three legs or something.
And then there was
and
a bird,
was a bird
one.
That threw
yeah.
down feathers. Yeah.
And the bird one was stupid easy. I would say the hard,
yeah.
the first boss was harder than him.
Yeah,
but
also we were getting used to the mechanics.
But all of the bosses, well, even like when I just when I died and had to start over again when I replayed it, it was still harder on the broom thing.
Yeah.
But mechanics of the boss fight are the same so far. Like the patterns change, but the mechanic stays
the
same.
The tomato. We were wondering where the tomatoes were as opposed to the apples.
I wonder if that could, but the tomato doesn't explode when it hits him. It just, I guess neither do the apples. The apples just kind of go off screen.
Yeah, the apples were much bigger, but like with the tomato, like when you threw the apple, it just went on forever.
And
but
just
with
disappeared.
That red, yeah, and, but with that red ball, you would go, you would either throw it up and then it would come slamming back down, and you really had to, that was the hardest thing about like the boss fights so far, I would say, is that really like dodging the obstacles that the boss was throwing at you weren't that hard.
Not that
it was
hard
just
at all.
Picking up the ball and judging the timing, because if you went too early, and then it would fall on you and you would get stunned.
Mm-hmm.
If you went too late, then when you tried to pick it up, you would either like go on top of it or it just wouldn't work, and you know, you kind of need precise timing.
I mean, sometimes your stun, the stun kind of worked out in your favor though, because
yeah.
if it, you got stunned right when the projectiles were near you, they you become invulnerable when you're stunned, which is really weird.
Yeah, I thought that because I would assume that the whole point of it being of it stunning you is to establish another obstacle for you.
To be fair, though, you do have a split second where you still can't move where you're vulnerable again.
Yeah.
There is, like, a split second where that happens, but it is kind of an odd choice.
I'd be willing to argue that the amount of time I saw about, like, the stun, if it had just stunned you the whole time, and you could potentially get hit, then we would have been like, oh, that really stinks. But we would have understood, you know? We would
yeah.
have thought, well, this is just an extra challenge. Like you just said, like, you know, the bosses were relatively easy.
Well, the game does a really good job of, and once again, I guess it's put Capcom on it, it's their pedigree. Like, they made really solid games on the NES. They could have taken the license of Chippendale and just made a crap game. But it's a really fun platformer, like,
yeah.
and it's very different from a lot of their other things. I would almost say it combines a lot of, maybe the projectiles remind me a little bit of Mega Man, like in the boss
sure.
fights a bit in terms of the pattern. Not as create,
yeah.
not
no.
nearly as creative,
no.
but the boss fight patterns, like you have to memorize the pattern in order to beat it. Now, unlike Mega Man, there's no best weapon for the boss. It's the same weapon for everyone so far.
Yeah.
Granted, there was about four or five other levels that I actually like this game enough. Like out
or
of
you would have to play it again.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to keep playing
it.
I want to
yeah.
finish. I feel like I could beat this game, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
I wonder if it's easier with two players.
We should try it after.
Yeah.
I'm still saying we should try it after.
I
this.
Feel like it might be one of those, because obviously it has like continues, and
yeah.
you run out of continues, and you have to start all the way at the beginning. I'm for everybody listening. I play fighting games, and that's it. When it comes to video games. Most people, when they see me do really well in fighting games, think, okay, well, he'll be, like, all right with other video games. No, I'm terrible.
It all
terrible
depends on the game.
I'm terrible with platformers, I'm terrible with puzzle games, I'm terrible with every aspect of other games.
I think you'd be good at some puzzle games.
No.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Portal, Professor Layton, any of those?
I'd be willing to bet my bottom dollar that if I were to play Portal right now, and now I've seen playthroughs of it, but I haven't actually played it myself, if I tried to figure out the second or third puzzle of a Portal game, man oh man, I would be stuck there forever. The last time I truly tried to take a puzzle platformer type game seriously was Prince of Persia for the original Xbox.
Really?
Yeah. And I had gone a little bit of the ways. I'm going to say, like, maybe a little less than 10% of the game. And I got to a room. I couldn't figure out how to get up to the ceiling. And I was stuck there for 2 years. Like, I mean,
I didn't play it
every day or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would get to that room, and I would spend a few hours, and I'd be like, no, I don't know. And it took until my friend came back from Japan and showed up and was like, hey, you were playing Prince of Persia? Like, yeah, I can't get past this one room. I was like, okay, well, let me try. And he figured it out in like 10 minutes or something. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get to play this game again. You know, I've had to put it off since forever. And then because I just don't look, that was during a time that I just didn't really look up playthroughs or anything like that.
Yeah.
YouTube hadn't really been around yet, I don't think. What was YouTube? 2006? Something like that?
YouTube existed before then, but it didn't really get big to like 2006 or 7.
So, like, and then like finally I'm like, okay, well now I'm going to get to play like the rest of this game. I got stuck on the next room. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this game's just telling me this isn't for me. You know? Maybe this is...
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's like... It's also a platformer. And you said yourself, you're not great at platformers.
That's true, too.
And it's funny, because some people... Like, I know this is... I mean, it's still kind of on the topic of Chip and Dale, because it was a platformer.
Yeah.
Some people are really good at 2D platformers, and some people are really good at 3D platformers. And some people are not good at platformers at all.
Yeah.
For me, I'm the 3D platformers. I grew up on an N64. I think I've said it before on the podcast, but like I grew to have an appreciation of the classics. I mean, now I guess N64 is a classic.
Yeah.
But you know, I grew to have an appreciation of the NES and the Super Nintendo that I didn't have before. And so since I started out with 3D games, I'm much better at 3D platformers than I am at 2D, and it's a totally different skill set, because like my friend Justin, who's been on the podcast before, really good at 2D platformers because he grew up with an NES, so Mega Man, Mario, that's his jam.
He gets that.
But like when he understands, it's much more precision based than 3D. Like 3D is precision based, but like it's more spatial awareness than it is precision based.
Yeah.
I guess technically 2D it is like some semblance of spatial awareness, because you have to know, can I make this jump type of thing.
Yeah, it's much more timing based.
But that's about it. With 3D platformers, it's more like, all right, can I make this jump, and what else is around me in relation to where I'm landing?
Yeah. This was like a pretty standard. This was like a pretty standard Chippendale. Chippendale was like a pretty standard 2D type of thing, where it's just like, you know, jumping over obstacles and stuff like that. And then when I think of like a 3D platformer, I think of Super Mario 64.
See, for me, my first 3D platform was Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool, because like you don't really see a lot of, like, I would love to see Capcom do Disney. Well, if Capcom actually stopped putting their heads up their asses and like made.
Don't make. Yeah, that's not
going to
be happening
anytime. No. Same, it's so depressing, but like them and Konami just like kind of just started burying their heads in the sand.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, Konami still put out Metal Gear Solid 5, which I heard was a pretty solid game.
Yeah, well, it's incomplete though.
Really?
Oh, you didn't know about this?
I knew they did the Phantom Pain, and then they released the full game.
Yeah, because they fired Kojima, like in the middle of that whole thing. And it's just unfinished. They have like little things that you can show that are like are not fully finished. Like here's what it would have looked like. Some of it is storyboard, some of it is actually shows you part of like it, but it's like incomplete textures.
That's insane. Like I just don't like a lot of like some of these developers are now going, I don't know if it's Konami or Capcom, but they're just focusing on pachinko machines.
And it's all about money.
Yeah, and it just kind of sucks, because like especially like Capcom, Konami, and like, well, Taito. I don't know if they still make games anymore.
I would argue that the majority of the bigger people in the video game industry are not doing. I mean, Ubisoft has a reputation for this kind of stuff. EA Sports has a reputation for this kind of
stuff. The thing is, they're still making games though. Versus Capcom, you don't really like. Here's the difference, like. Activision and Ubisoft and EA to a lesser extent, because no one likes EA. Even they're the most
EA
hated.
Like EA, yeah.
They just kind of milk all their series to death. Capcom doesn't do that. Which, don't get me wrong, it's a good thing. But at the same time, like, kind of nice to see like another Mega Man game come out, or like.
I think it would be great to have another Mega Man game come out that doesn't have DLC content. DLC content is like the big. Thing that's irritating me is like they throw out, and Capcom, you know, has a big issue with that in fighting games as well, where it's like they'll bring out an incomplete game with coding for other characters and other stages and other levels and stuff like that
already in the game.
Yeah, but then it won't come out, and then you have to pay extra in order to get those things. There are certain games that have destroyed themselves. Tom Clancy's The Division?
Yeah.
Like, 90% of that game was behind a DLC wall, and it's like, nobody wants to deal with that. The people who made Left 4 Dead made that game Evolve, which won, like, all these E3 awards, and then it got killed by the fact that, like, the idea of the game actually wasn't really all that interesting, but then you had to pay, like, I don't know, like, I remember seeing some of it, it was like, you're gonna make me pay $2 for a gun that's just the same gun as I have now, but it's painted blue. You want me to pay $2 for that? That's not happening.
Well, like, I am not against cosmetic microtransactions. It's when they actually completely, like, block off total, like, all right, so I can't have, yeah, like, that kind of thing is what bothers me, but I digress. We digress. It's not part of
it. I just don't like that kind of part. But to go back to Chippendales, something we hadn't really talked about was, like, the controls were much tighter than you would expect from an NES game.
Well, I mean, a lot of NES games still have tight controls, but, like, I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I mean, it's because it's Capcom, let's be real here.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, you do play a lot of NES games that just the controls are garbage. Mm-hmm. But no, this was really simple. You pressed A to jump and B to pick the items up, and then B again to throw them once they're...
Or you could also just lightly tap the jump button, you can get a small jump, which I always really like.
It's always interesting how you actually... Like, I honestly wonder how they could program that, because, like... I mean, I get it, but, like, I didn't... Like, that type of thing always fascinates me, because it's, like, you have to measure the pressure of the button press, which is just... For some reason, like, in my mind, I'm like, that's got to be the most difficult thing to figure out how to program.
It's probably just, like, the length of time that... So it probably gauges when you've pressed enough in order for the button to, quote-unquote, activate... And then the amount of time it keeps going until it is, quote-unquote, deactivated. You know what I mean?
That's probably
makes
sense.
If you're holding
it
down, then it's probably a longer amount of time. But if it's a very, very short amount of time, which for us would be tapping the button,
I mean,
I guess, that's just my guess.
Well, actually, that would make sense because, I mean, as gamers, we have a habit to, like, how many times when you played Pokemon, you would press and hold the A button down, like, rapidly to make sure you... It does nothing.
No.
But it's the same idea in a jump. Like, you feel like if I press this jump button down longer... Then he's going to jump higher, or
super jump, yeah.
Exactly,
or maybe like not fall down to the ground fast, maybe,
or not get hit by those fucking cactuses. That's
cacti, yeah. Oh, that's right.
We didn't talk about the
cacti. Have gigantic hitboxes. It's crazy.
You can be literally off the flower with the exception of like 2 pixels.
Yeah,
and you'll be still on the flower. Same thing. You'll be nowhere near the cactus, but 2 pixels will get maybe an inch away from, not sorry, less than that, but a tiny sliver closer to it, and all of a sudden you won't even be touching the sprite, but like you'll be in its hitbox.
Yeah,
it's
and
aggravating.
It's weird because those were only in the first stage, and none of the other stages had anything else like that.
Well, and I don't think so. I mean, and you showed it best. There was there's like a bunch of boxes, there's a flower and then boxes on either side of it, and there's a gap in between the flower and the boxes. You were literally standing in midair, like you were not touching anything.
The flower was easily 1 to 2 Dale lengths of space larger than what it seemed visually.
But you could still fall down the gap, but you had to literally be like every one of Dale's pixels had to be off of the box. So the hitbox was just... It's I would say it's poor sprite design because the sprite was much smaller than its hitbox.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have designed the sprite to be the size of the hitbox or something a little bit more close, that would have made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But
we didn't talk about the music, too. We really enjoyed the music. I didn't particularly think... Like, the first stage had a song, despite the fact that it was the biggest earworm, it's the song that's still playing in my head right now as I say this, but it just kind of sounded like a video gamey just song. And then when we got to like the other stages, I was like, it was the first time that I like kind of like got stopped in my tracks and was like, oh, this is a really good song. I actually really enjoy listening to this.
There were some of the tracks. Remember, I said the one. I don't remember which level it was, but it sounded like Queen to me for a little bit.
I think
bit.
It was Zone C. I think it
was it? One. Was it the? It wasn't. Somebody, I forget. I think it was Somebody to Love. That's a
crazy little thing.
Crazy little thing to love. That's what I was thinking. I always get those two confused, just because they both have the word
love.
Both have love in their hearts.
I mean, every Queen song has love in it, at least a little bit.
God, Queen's a good band. Was a good band.
That's right.
But honestly, that's about all I got on this. I mean,
we didn't necessarily talk too much about the nightmare that was Zone D.
Zone D, because we mentioned it and went back to the other levels. Yeah.
You saw it as a bear. I saw it as a dog. It was this visual representation of everything that's scary to me, where it was smiling, but it was this wry smile of, like, please kill me.
It and then, was!
Like, the eyes of, like, you don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Let's both kill
So, ourselves. Like, you get... oh, God. You jump, you spawn to the level, and there's these boxes filled with of these, like, bears or dogs or whatever, and they look so sad, but also creepy because their eyes are so, like, wide.
So very forcefully inviting. Like, we want you to know that we're happy, and we're really not happy.
Yeah, that's...
It's one of those.
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah. Like,
it's also the fact that you're, like, in a gift shop. There's, like, wrapping presents and bows.
And then the enemies are, like, jack-in-the-boxes.
Oh,
and, like,
my God. Like, I legitimately screamed. I legitimately was just... Oh! I couldn't handle it. But, like, that was the only stage where I was like, was there music? I don't know. I was too busy not running for my life. That was terrifying.
I love how you immerse yourself into the game so much. Because to me, it's literally just like, oh, that's a cool looking sprite.
I try my best. Because that's how, you know, you enjoy stuff. That's how you really get wrapped up into it. Like, I have a few friends who, for movies, will, like, try to figure out what the ending is going to be before it happens.
I hate
and
that.
And despite the fact that I could probably do the same thing, I go out of my way not to do it just because, well, it's going to happen, so why don't I just let it happen, you know? I'll just let the whole thing wash over.
Yeah, it makes it that much more interesting. I always hate it when people can, like, tell you, like, I'll be watching a movie with my fiance, and she'll say, is it this, is it this, is it this? I'm like, just stop asking questions and watch the movie.
Yeah.
And she'll guess the ending, and, like, after, like, her second guess, I'm like, and I can't lie for shit. So she sees, she's like, oh, that's what it is. I'm like, God, you're ruining every movie I show you.
Well, it just really stinks, especially, like, if I'm watching, like, I'll watch a movie for the first time with somebody else who's watching a movie for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be like, is it, you know... Is this the person who's, like, doing this kind of thing? And I'm like, you do realize that we both have the exact same amount of information. I'm not giving you any... I don't have anything new for you. I got the exact same stuff from the same thing. So, I don't know.
That's...
But, yeah, I try to... I do the same thing with video games. I try to just...
That's a cool... You know, like, I should try that. I mean, it,
I'm
like...
I'm a very cool person.
You are, Jay.
I do cool things.
You should have a business card like, I'm a cool person, I do cool things. That's all it says.
I'm sure everybody in the professional world will think, wow, that we gotta hire that guy.
That's awesome. But alright, I guess to wrap up, I'm just gonna kinda read what I thought was kind of amusing on the back of the box. Capcom USA, premier worldwide arcade game designer. Then it has Disney's Chip and Dale, 1990 copyright for Walt Disney Company. Join Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers to thwart Fat Cat's evil attempts to control the city. So, in the manual, it says, could it be Fat Cat up to his old tricks again? And in the back of the box, it tells you flat out.
They
didn't bury the lead at all in the box. They buried it in the manual.
Yeah.
And then they just ruined it. So if you... the thing is, though, as a kid, a lot of times, especially if you're bringing this home, right, on your... Like, say you went out with your parents, and you got this in the box, right? You're so excited to come home with it. You're reading the back of the box before you want to open the shrink wrap and everything. So you know what it is already. So why the facade?
I like the idea of, like... So you buy it, and then you get home. On the box, it's like, you are going to defeat...
Fat Cat.
And then you read the manual, and it's, and all it says is, or are you? And then you play the game, and it's you are.
It's
just very direct.
It's not, it doesn't beat around the bush.
No.
Chip and Dale, those pint-sized but courageous Disney detectives, have received another desperate call for help. The evil Fat Cat has kidnapped Gadget. So once again, the plot twist that we... Because, like I said, I didn't read
the manual.
Well, the plot twist that I'm like, oh, snap, the Gadget took... Or, so Gadget was kidnapped. Tells you right again, right on the back of the box. Has kidnapped Gadget. His sinister goal to take over the city. Fat Cat's bad guys. Can you escape them, or do you stand and fight? Deadly attacking killer bees. Can you outrun them, or do you let them bite?
Or do we throw a box at them?
Rabid robot rats and mechanical dogs. Are you saved from their savage jaws, or do you bite them back? The choices are up to you.
We don't really bite them. We throw box.
Yeah, if you try to bite them, they'll kill you. No. Join the Rescue Rangers on their exciting search through the darkest depths of slimy sewers to the electrifying heights of live telephone wires. Play alone or with a friend to locate Fat Cat's headquarters and thwart his diabolical scheme.
Hold on a second. Did we get anything about Fat Cat trying to take over the city?
He mentioned that Gadget was going to develop things for him so he could take over the city. Okay. I think.
It's really much don't more quote me on that. I feel like,
Why even bother having the cat thing in the first place if you're just going to spoil it on the back of the box?
Yeah.
Like, I could understand if like Fat Cat kidnapped the cat and you have to get this cat back, and then he uses that as a lure to get Gadget. But they don't tell you that. They just tell you right off the bat, it's Fat Cat, and he's kidnapped Gadget. And the manual just says, who could it be? And in the game, who could it be? But then, I'm not surprised. I mean, based off my limited, actually no knowledge of the TV show, because I only watched bits and pieces of DuckTales.
I believe that's the actual name of the show. DuckTales.
Woo. Yeah. Okay. Good thing I'm being accurate.
W O O H O O.
But all right, that's about all I got to say on the game. Do you have any closing thoughts about the game at all,
Josh? I just want to say thank you for having me again. Am I the most common person that you have on your podcast?
I think you're the most. Yeah, you're the guest that reoccurs the most.
Yeah, this would be number three.
Three or four, something
like
that.
Yeah.
So thank you once again for coming back. Do you have any social media you want to plug, or not really?
I can't remember if you have a YouTube show. If anybody happens to just be interested in competitive gaming when it comes to fighting games, I have one based on Soul Calibur 5. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Eye of a Samurai. The YouTube channel is called Clowns Wit Muffins.
Clowns Wit Muffins?
Yeah, just without the H.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. That was back, so many moons ago. I barely remember that person anymore.
You have to make another video.
Yeah, I do have to. I really do have to make another video. But in case anybody's interested in that, you can check me out there.
You can, once as usual, follow me at StillLoadingPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you like the show, please review, rate, and rate it. Subscribe too if you enjoyed it. Give me some feedback. I'm always looking to make the show better.
Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like.
Yes, I'm trying to build an audience, so please give me some feedback, and I will do my best to accommodate it. So long as you're not dicks about it.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. Anyway,
I mean, that's just good.
It's just life. It's a life motto. But all right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will see you, or I will see you next time.